Hallelujah. We ready for that little? Just gonna start off with this little movie clip from a favorite movie
that you're
of mine.
A really important email
and,
to a colleague.
That's not it. It's awesome.
Or a post on Facebook that all your friends will see. Or a paper for your English class that you just have to get an A on. Or a resume for your dream job. Or a message to your crush on a dating site.
That's all right. It's good.
The point is...
There's sound to that.
You rented a new house? Rent! You hear what he said, Mr. Bailey?
What's that?
I own the house. Me, Giuseppe Martin, I own my own house. No more we live like a pigs in this Paris field.
One more, I'll ask you.
Marie!
Come on, bring the baby. Like
a pig!
I'll take the kids in the car.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bailey. Thank you.
All right, kids, here. Here,
get in here.
Get right up on the seat there. Mr. and Mrs. Martini, welcome home.
Good old George, he's always making a speech.
Hee-haw! Sam Wainwright.
Oh, who cares? Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini Castle.
I don't know if Frank Capra, who directed this movie, understood what he put in, the symbolism into that clip. I'm not talking about the goat. And it was made in 1946. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. It's America's darling movie. It was dismally acclaimed when it first came out, which is a proof of our life. Don't listen to your critics. They usually go away somewhere else and find out that you're a genius later. And that's what happened with this movie. And in that clip is the only that I could find and tried to research good old Google. It's the only clip in any movie that shows Salt Covenant. That actually, the symbolism, whether Frank knew what he was doing or not, being an Italian-American, born in Italy and then came when he was 5 years old to the United States and served the United States military as well. But there's symbolism in life that's important. And tonight, this morning, really briefly, I just want to talk about the covenant of salt. It's something that's puzzled me my whole life in hearing about the covenant of salt. There's only three scriptures that mention a covenant of salt. And I'm just going to look at one of them primarily, but I'll read the three. In 2 Chronicles 13:5, it says, "Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" What the heck is a covenant of salt? It's an amazing scripture. It's an amazing symbolism. It's a covenant that you and I partake in this morning. And it's an everlasting covenant. It's a covenant that's never going to go away. It's not dissolvable. And it's what our relationship, it's what God's relationship with Israel and his people is actually based on. Yet we don't hear much about it. And in a very obscure little section of a movie, it's shown with bread and wine. And all cultures almost have adopted salt into their diet. Do you know without salt, you'll die? It's called the salt hungers. It's documented so many different cases of people who have perished because they couldn't find any salt to implement in their diet. And in many cultures in Africa and other places where salt was too expensive or it was, you know, not available, many cultures substituted blood for salt, where they would dip their meat or their bread in the blood of animals, knowing that the blood of animals contains a saltiness. But Israel was in trouble because Israel wasn't allowed to do that. But God provided salt, salt pits, salt mines. My wonderful wife's family, her mother's side of the family, a man named Rudder, came out with Blaxland to this great nation. And he was in charge of developing all the salt mines for Sydney. And so salt's even a part of my by marriage covenant with my wife, that it was an important role even in my wife's family and to this nation. They knew that without salt, people would perish. It wasn't going to be a great existence. Can I say without the covenant of God, we will perish? It's not going to be a wonderful existence. You read further in the next two scriptures, Leviticus 2:13, and every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. Salt had to accompany every single one of the sacrifices with Israel in mind. In Numbers 18:19, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord and with you and your descendants with you. Symbolism is important. Salt symbolizes life. Many cultures, again, the Finnish culture, the Baltic states, Germany, Italy, all over Africa, South America, salt is given when someone gets a new house. In many countries, bread and salt are taken together, even in the Kadosh with the challah bread. Is it challah? Challah bread? Challah. Challah bread. You know, the salt and the bread together in the Jewish ceremony. You know, we have bread and salt together. Jesus says, I am the living bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If we're hungry, we need to partake of the bread of Christ in our life. But he says this, you are salt. He says, you are salt. And he gives us a very clear depiction in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, that says, if salt loses its saltiness, it's no good. However, when we have Christ, when we have this amazing covenant of salt, see, a lot of people go into marriage like it's an agreement. I hate the word partnership. I'll use a modern vernacular. It's a bunch of crap. So you understand what I mean. Partnership is an agreement that agreement can be dissolved at will. Marriage is based on a covenant. And God gave a covenant, a act of covenant saying, this is not dissolvable. I am offering myself based on a covenant of salt. It is not an option in my mind. It is an extension in Christ of something that cannot be undone. Jesus' sacrifice cannot be undone. Jesus' life can't be undone. And so it's the covenant of salt is an extension, can I say, of marriage to God himself with humanity. That marriage, can I say, God's never going to break with Israel. So all the anti-Israel people and nations, be warned. God will fight. God will protect. God will preserve his covenant of salt. It will never go away. The salt God talks about, you can't dissolve everyone. This is the amazing relationship God extends to the people of the world who would say yes to Jesus. Once you take Jesus in, God never will negate his part of covenant. He'll never say, you know, I made a mistake. In the Arab culture, you know, there's It's so binding, and you can read all sorts of historical accounts that when someone ate bread and salt, especially salt, at table, it meant a contract for life of friendship, meaning that when you had salt with your enemy at the table, they couldn't touch you. There's so many different historical accounts of people being tricked and people being smart enough to utilize an agreement based on salt. Here we are called the salt of the earth. And it's because we've taken the bread of life in our life that we're actually salty. Our saltiness comes from Christ. We don't really have the flavor of the hour in our beautiful, wonderful selves. The flavor of the hour comes from Christ. You are salt and light. Can I say that today, more than ever, the world needs salt and light to be evident. The world has lost her taste for her own worldliness, and it's looking for something that preserves, that satisfies, that protects. You know, it's amazing when you do study about snake bites, especially rattlesnake bites. They used to use salt to pack the wound, and people would recover. It's because the venom actually breaks down the salt based in the blood, in your blood. That's what the venom attacks. And here, you know, the venom of life, the venom of the world tries to attack your saltiness in Christ, but it can't. The venom of the enemy cannot break down Christ Almighty, the salt of life, the preserver of life, the maker of life, the creator of life. You're made to be a conduit, a carrier of the very thing the world needs. It's desperate for saltiness. It's desperate for light. Time has run out. 10 hours of study gone in 10 minutes. Saltiness. I'm not worried, guys. I didn't even have to get up here. It don't matter to me. God's God, eh? He will be worship and praise. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean, you know, we need this to connect. That's all right. That's not my point. My point is that a covenant of salt has been extended to us. We've been welcomed into the house of God. He welcomes us with himself into the house of God. He welcomes us and says, hey, take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood. And so we're living stones. We're this amazing corporate body being assembled to be a witness in the world we live. All sorts of reasons in movies and in everyday life and historical events and accounts of God using salt and bread to symbolize his covenant. We're not in an agreement. This is not optional. To say yes to the covenant of God extended is a point of contract that cannot be broken. God's love for you is eternal. God's protection for you is eternal. Your temporal circumstance never dictates to God's covenant. When talking in Fiji, you know, there's a huge culture, and can I say many of us come from different cultures. God has a culture too. It's called kingdom. And human culture never dictates to kingdom. Kingdom always dictates to the culture. God's kingdom won't change. To have a life in Christ is not optional. It's not a fair weather kind of situation. It's not a scenario that plays out by our best effort. It plays out by God's best effort, which was to give Jesus, man. Which was to give Jesus in pure covenant, an undisputable binding forever extension of relationship. And you're the salt. You are the light. Matthew 5. We are called, we're commissioned by God to live a very flavorsome life. Can I say that flavorsome only comes from Christ? You're only really interesting when you have Christ. You're only really desirable when you have Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God in the day we're living is stirring us to a point of abandonment. Have you noticed, you know, we're my home area, they're going berserk right now because this thing in baseball called the Little League World Series, where they have kids that are 12 years old and they play on a national scene and an international scene. And the town right next to mine, where I grew up, has just won the United States Championship. I'm going to play Korea, South Korea, on tomorrow. And it's all in the paper. It's everywhere. It's amazing. And though I love it and connect with it, it doesn't have its same pop or zip like it would have 5 years ago for me. Have you noticed that the things of the world are getting strangely dim? The light of those things? The song might be prophetic. Hey? That there might be impact that's greater than what the world has to offer. That the taste, can I say, the taste of the things of the world, the premiership, the championship, the voice, the block. You know what? It's kind of, I don't know, man. It doesn't taste the same. Maybe I've changed. Well, I think we are changing. I think we're becoming more like Him, and the only thing that satisfies us is Him. Everyone, that's saltiness. That's the salt that God's talking about through His Scripture to us. This wonderful, obscure kind of verse, the covenant of salt, based His relationship extension to Israel and to David, to His descendants. You know, God. We look at Israel, you say Israel more than twice, you know, in a crowd, we're overemphasizing. You say the word prophetic more than once, and you're overemphasizing, you know. But, you know, God has natural things. He has us look at natural events and things, but they very much have truer, can I say, spiritual connotation and meaning. And you can watch the news all day long for the rest of your life, and you will never see God forsake Israel. Ever. I'm going to add to that. And you will look at the news all the rest of your life and the newspapers, and I guarantee you, you'll see that God will never turn His back on the church either. It's the one new man He's forming. Hallelujah. The Jew and the Gentile believer. And for those that don't understand that, ask God for a revelation. Ask God for a download. Ask God to stir our heart. Ask God to stir our heart to be salty with Him. To stir our heart for what stirs His heart. I think we'll be surprised at what's stirring the heart of God in the day we live. Let's go after God like there's never before. He's welcomed us. Can I say He's given us a new house? We're living stones. He is where we're to dwell. He is the vine that He's placed us in, where His branches, you know. And God's calling us in deeper. He's calling us in deeper into the places of His heart that really our heart longs to be a part of. Hallelujah. Well, that's all I got to say about that. Yeah. This Saturday, it wasn't mentioned, but there's a table out here. We're going to do a prophetic collaborative. What's that mean? It means a whole bunch of prophetic people gathered together for the purpose of hearing God's voice, stirring one another to hear God's voice. My lovely wife will be manning the table there. If you want to come, please sign up. It's $30 a person, $50 a couple. And there'll be different speakers engaging. There'll be question and answer. And we actually, on purpose, have put in morning tea to be part of the fellowship or part of the dynamic. Many times, people walk around literally and believe they're off-putting, off-base, or they're nuts. They believe that they're the only one hearing and they're off. And when you get a bunch of people who are trying to hear God it's very refreshing to know that you're not off-putting, that you're not offline. And that's why we intentionally put in this kind of time where we can dialogue and stir one another on in Christ and trying to hear what he's saying. And you might be one that hears God in dreams or through scripture, or you get downloads during worship or through prayer. And all of that we want to encourage. We want people to hear God's voice more often and more accurate. So that interests you, then the Prophetic Collaborative, it'll be right here from 9:30 to 4 p.m. There'll be all sorts of things happening throughout the day, and please take advantage of that. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you're God and there is no other. That, Lord, in your love, you extend this beautiful relationship using symbolism that we can understand and some we can't. But, Lord, you in your mercy, just are so gracious to us. You want us to live in bounty, Lord. You want us to live a fruitful, amazingly faithful life, and it's only found in you. I thank you, Lord God, that you did extend a covenant of salt. And Lord, for those that believe, Lord, that have said yes and taken in the living bread of life that you are in the book of John, we're just so grateful, Lord. We're so thankful that you're the living bread. And Lord, through the reception of your life in us, you call us salt and light. May we have the strength and boldness to become even more effective as salt and light in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you real good. If you need prayer, come to my left. If you would like prophetic ministry, come to my right. God bless you real good. Enjoy your week.